Well, we're on the road following God. That's what we need to keep doing. Hallelujah. We need to keep seeking God, knowing what to do. The Bible says, and we've been talking about being filled with the Spirit, but it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I've talked about that before. You know, it doesn't, you know, there's many people who are God's children, but there's, you know, there's many people, many Christians who don't live as children of God. They don't. They're really not led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. We're talking and we've been teaching on a subject of being filled with the Spirit. And we're going to go back there again today. This week, God's really been dealing with me again a lot about talking about this subject, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Is one of the things that in dealing with this, before Smith Wigglesworth left this earth back in, I think, was it 48 or 49 he left, somewhere there. But one of the things he had prophesied was the fact that there was going to be a move of God that was going to come the last days before Jesus returned. And it would be a move of the, it would be the move of the Word and the Spirit together. And we need to understand, you know, there's we've had a lot of things of the Word teaching and that stuff. We know the teaching and stuff, the Word started, right, because really the teaching ministries had been brought back to the forefront back in the 60s and on up through, and started doing more, and people started doing more and more teaching. And but one thing is we need to know as Christians is know the Spirit of God. And this is really an important thing. Many Christians live and die and don't know the Holy Spirit. They don't know Him at all. It's important to understand this, and you've heard me say this many times, and I often wonder what people mean when they say it. They talk about, I hear sometimes people are witnessing to somebody, and they say, well, what you need is a personal relationship with Jesus. And what they're saying to the person is, you know, what they're really trying to say is you need to be saved or born again. But they say a personal relationship with Jesus, just because you're born again doesn't mean you have a personal relationship with Jesus. I don't mean it at all. You don't get a personal relationship with Jesus Christ because you get born again. That would have really been nice. Well, we could all just, you know, done whatever we wanted, got saved, and we'd have just known Jesus, and that would have been it. We wouldn't have had to read the Bible. We wouldn't know how to do none of stuff. We wouldn't have to do anything. Well, that's not the way it works. It doesn't work that way. But one of the things that we're going to emphasize this morning, some things we talked about before, but we want to go back over into the Scriptures. We want to look at some things. One thing we need to understand, if a person cannot be led or is not led by the Holy Spirit, they do not know Jesus. Many ministers live and die and don't know the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ said this to an appearance at Kenneth E. Hagin. He said, many of my ministers live and die and never get into my perfect will for their life. Never. So they live and die. Well, how can they lead people to something where they don't even know where it's at? See, you can get over and really not men not know God. Randall Greer talked about one of the revelations God gave him, and he started to teach back a few years ago. The Lord told him there's two types of churches that are rising up worldwide. But he said here in America, there's the informational church and the revelational church. There's two different churches. There's the information. They'll tell you information from the Bible. They'll talk about information. But they don't know God. Now, that doesn't mean they ain't Christians. They can be Christians, but they don't know God. All they know God is on pages in a book. They don't know God any different than if you'd sit down and read a novel or something, or read a historical, you know, account of a certain individual. They don't know God any more than that. Many people, you know, get born again and they don't know God any more than what they know just from an informational. God is not revelational to them. He is not revealed. It's not something revealed to them. And folks, you need to understand that is the huge, enormous difference. That's what makes all the difference, is God being revealed to you. In revelation, you have experience. You experience something through revelation. This is what makes it. God wants you to experience Him. And see, when people use have a personal relationship, well, what do you mean? I mean, I know ministers that they're what they say they have a personal relationship is more in it's informational. It's not revelational. They don't have a personal experience. They don't experience God. Now, I've learned over the time, and the Holy Spirit. I know the Holy Spirit. I know Him. And I'm talking about I know Him just from a book. Thank God for the book that explains some things. But I have experienced the Holy Spirit. I know things about how He operates, how He works, and how to cooperate with Him. I know some things. I know how to get certain things to work and operate. The Lord commended me here a few years ago and spoke to me and said, talked to me about getting why I had some, you know, had seen so many different times of things, I've seen, had experiences where things get taken care of so quickly. He said, and he explained to me because he said, you know how to do certain things. You know how to act on certain things to get things done. There's things I've learned in the spirit realm. You know, I can sit and say to you all I want about them, but until you get over and hooked up with the spirit, it don't work just because you listen to my experience. You know, I listen to Kenneth Hagin's teaching and loved his wonderful experiences, but I wanted to have those experiences. You know, most people love to hear stories told, but I want to tell you, I want my own stories. I want my own story. I don't want just somebody else's stories. I want to have my own with God, my own stories that I've always desired. I don't care how much God's going to move among you. I want to move among Ed. Hallelujah. And see, so many people, I remember back in the days of the full gospel businessmen, how people, you know, they go at all, they love the testimonies of people. And I used to listen to testimonies, and it was great to hear, but I used to think, I want to experience God like that. I don't want just somebody telling me about it. Most people are just happy to hear somebody else's story. They're just happy to listen to somebody else's story. I just want you to know, if I can't have it, don't tell me the story, I don't care. I'm not interested. I have no interest. You know, life is too short. I want to get what I can and operate in what I can here, not to spend my time and waste my time on fantasy. And much of Christianity is fantasy. Because people don't, they just fantasize in it. They don't plan on walking in it or having it. I want to have it. You know, when I heard people that God talked to and moved in and revealed things to them, I said, man, I want that. I don't have to wait to get to church. God talked to me, you know, from a book, just tell me something. Hallelujah. I want God to be real. Glory to God. God's real to me. My words, He had me awake again last night. Hallelujah. 3:30 in the morning. He had me awake. I woke up just like I had been awake for a long time and really didn't get back into sleep till I got out of bed at 5:30. Just, you know. But God's been dealing with me about things and talking to me about these things in here. But see, I don't know. You know, I've had this over the years, you know, and I've run into ministers who have said to me personally, I don't believe God talks to you. I never heard anything so stupid in my life. We could have the God of the universe live inside of me, the Holy Ghost, God, the Holy Spirit, and I can't hear Him. He don't talk. How stupid can you get? You see, he's nothing. I don't realize these are nothing but informational ministers. They read the book. They agree, oh yeah, the book's true. But they don't have it in their lives. It don't work. They don't believe it. They don't live like that so. And see, we need to live like this stuff is true. One of the things, as you folks have heard me say many times, when the Lord spoke to me as a new Christian in February of 1980, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, if you don't learn how to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. And then some years later, he told me most of my people don't amount to anything because they don't learn to be led by the Spirit. And some of them, it isn't their fault, they sit in churches and the ministers know nothing about being led by the Spirit of God. They don't know a thing about it. God isn't real to them. God's real to me. I mean, I wouldn't know what to think if people say God didn't talk to you. It sure bothered me. God never talked to me, or God never revealed things to me or showed me things. I mean, I've never had the time where people say, you sit down and read the Bible. You know, I just sit down, it just seems so dry. There's nothing there. And I think, my God, I get the Bible. I can start to read it and I'll get stuck on the first two verses I'm reading. I was just like, God starts to talk to me about something and I'll just sort of stay there for, you know, I don't ever do, excuse me, very well on reading through the Bible every year. Because I get stuck in places and I can't get out of them for months. God will start talking to me there and I just live there for a while. I just stay there at that place. God, you know, where God's talked to me, I stay. Most people, they don't. They'll go on and feed whatever their flesh wants to hear. God talks to me into something, I just park right at that spot. We're going to stay there and let God talk to me. And I do that. I just don't do well in reading through the Bible because I always hit spots that I have a tough time getting out of. I just, it's like God's saying things there and I'll go to read something else and I'm thinking, you know, this ain't working. Let's go back to that thing again. We'll go back over there. God will talk. One of the things we're talking about, we've been dealing with, is being filled with the Holy Spirit, because that was a command of Jesus Christ to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If it was a command to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to understand this. God said be filled with the Holy Ghost, and when you got born again, you just got all the Holy Ghost there is, then why was there a command to be filled with the Spirit? That'd be a sort of a ludicrous type of thing. That wouldn't have made any sense whatsoever. Wouldn't have made any sense in it. But he told us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And how do you know when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? I listen to one major minister. There's a number of things I've listened to him teach. I like to hear him teach on, but he's not over in the areas of the Spirit. And he was teaching about being full of the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Spirit of God. And he was trying to explain how you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And the whole thing that he left out was he couldn't really tell you how you would know if you were. How could you know that if you reached a point, you know, and you don't know? See, he didn't know. He was sort of, you know, was like, well, you're really filled with the Spirit, and that means you're really turned on for God. Well, that don't mean nothing. I've watched people turn on from God one day, and the next day they're not. I mean, it's like, come on. I see if people get a so-called emotionally filled with God. That has more to do with their emotions than it does any kind of stability within themselves. But being filled with the Spirit of God, we're supposed to be full of the Holy Spirit. It's number one, knowing the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read through some scriptures, things we talked about before, but I want to read things specifically. First of all, something that John the Baptist said in John, the first chapter, when John the Baptist made mention of Jesus Christ. I find these very interesting because in John, the first chapter, John the Baptist made these statements. John the Baptist said concerning Jesus, he said in John, in verse 32, it says, and John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remaining on, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. He said, and I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. Now, John said, look, I baptize with water, but this one that's coming, he baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And there's something that we need to understand these things. These statements made here, talking about Jesus baptizing with the Holy Spirit. See, some people say, well, that has to do with the new birth. Well, then why don't we preach the new birth as being baptized in the Spirit? The same people that say that never preach. We don't know about how many of you ever had somebody lead you to Christ say, what you need to be is baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what you need. Never do. They never say that. Well, because that's not the event that's talked about here. It's very interesting. Jesus spoke about the new birth and the change, but Jesus spoke more about the Holy Spirit being filled with the Holy Ghost than he did about being born again. Now, that doesn't make born again not important. I understand it's very important. But there's something the Lord revealed to me some years ago, number of years ago. He said, the whole point of I want you to be born again is so the Holy Ghost can come and live in you. That's why I want people born again. He has to have a house of God for the Holy Ghost to live in. He wants us born again to have the Spirit. That's the purpose of being born again. If you and I were just born again and the Holy Spirit didn't come and live in us, I'm going to tell you what, things wouldn't work out near as well for you and I. I'll tell you what, having the Holy Spirit in us is the most remarkable, incredible thing that you and I can ever have. Me coming in contact and starting to understand the Holy Spirit made the biggest change in my entire life. Now, Jesus, I want to look at some things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. Jesus made statements. It's one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Jesus made this statement in John, the 7th chapter. And we're going to be looking in John, reading some things from John here. Because I want you to see this. These are words that Jesus Christ himself said. Now, we just heard some words that God, the Father, had spoken to John the Baptist. And he said to him, he quoted those things. Now, here we have specifically, Jesus is telling, really giving us information concerning about with dealing with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is going to give us some information about this event, because this event did not take place at the time that Jesus said it. This was after Jesus died, was raised from the dead, was glorified. Then, at that time, we stepped into the place of the church age with the born again, being filled with the Holy Ghost. And he's giving instructions. He's teaching these disciples about it. In John, the 7th chapter, in verse 38, it says, Jesus made this statement, and this is a hugely important statement. And it just, many times, you know, I don't know about you, there's times that I've read through the Bible and read over things and just sort of read over them. That's what I did. And didn't really get what it said. And the Lord told me yesterday to emphasize this. I'm supposed to emphasize. Jesus, in verse 38 says, "He who believes in me, as the Scripture says." Did you get that? "He who believes in me, as the Scripture said." The Lord said this to me yesterday. Many people don't believe in me as the Scripture says. Many Christians don't believe in me. He said that's why they don't believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They don't believe in me as the Scripture says. They have their own religious beliefs and ideas. They have their own ideas and own beliefs that men have preached. He said the ones who believe in me as the Scripture says, these ones, out of them, that group, out of them will flow rivers of living water. Now understand, he's not talking about the new birth here. The new birth's not rivers of living water. Rivers, the new birth's the well. Hallelujah. That's the well springing up into everlasting life. That's what that is. Thank God we got that. I was sure glad when I got that. Hallelujah. And that well, that's the place where you and I drink. The rivers is what we take to others to drink. We take something to somebody else. That's what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is about. And he's saying here, "He who believes in me, as the Scripture says." Out of this group, that group who believes, oh, you know, you can get all kinds of people today say, well, they believe what the Bible says, and I can take them to Scriptures, and I'll tell you what, they'll tell you immediately, don't believe that. Oh, that's all gone, or this is that, or this and that, the other thing. This isn't for today, that isn't for today anymore. Excuse me. It's all for some other time. I'm going to tell you, if all this stuff is for another time, don't waste my time with it. Why are we reading it? Let's go through the Bible and tear them pages out, because we don't need them if they were for another time. Hallelujah, I need them all. Verse 39, he says, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified." So he said the Holy Spirit, that they would what? Receive. They would receive the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. Realize this. The Bible teaches us to receive Jesus Christ. We don't ask somebody to come to Jesus and ask him to receive the Holy Spirit, do we? No, we don't do that, do we? Receive Christ. Here he's talking about the ones who would receive the Spirit. We have to receive the Holy Spirit. He's received just like we receive Christ. And we'll go over what we're looking from a scriptural standpoint, because there's other things that Jesus made mention about the Holy Spirit. As we read them in Scripture, we can see it clarifies some of these things. So here Jesus is, now he's talking about those who believe on Jesus, as the Scripture says, out of that, these individuals, there's going to be living water, there's going to be rivers of living water flow out of these individuals. And that's what we want. It's an outflow of the Spirit. So that's why, and we may read later about on the day of Pentecost, not the day of Pentecost, but beforehand. But I want you to go to John the 14th chapter. John the 14th chapter, Jesus makes statements, and this is, I really find, one of the most interesting things in Scripture. Before Jesus leaves to go to his crucifixion, the night that he was betrayed, from John 14 and on through, deals with that night. This is Jesus and what they said, that, you know, they did the Passover together. On that night, Jesus talked to the disciples, and you know what he talked to them about? The Holy Ghost. That's what he talked to them about that night. The church, I always find the church, you know, it was like Kenneth Hagin used to always say, the church majors in the minors. Anything of minor importance, they're majoring in, and anything of major importance, they ain't got a clue about it. Jesus, I thought, here he is leaving the earth. He is not talking to the disciples about the new birth. He's talking to them about the Holy Spirit. Because why? You get born again without the Holy Ghost, you ain't got much. Thank God it'll get you to heaven, but you ain't going to be much help to anybody else. You need to understand this. I've said this before, and you need to get it. It is not enough to be born again. You got to get filled with the Holy Ghost. You can never get into the perfect will of God without being filled with the Spirit. It's an impossibility. There's places you can't go. There's revelation in the Scriptures you don't even need to ever have if you're not going to be filled in the Holy Ghost, because it's never going to do you any good to have it. Because it's tied to being filled with the Spirit. And we need to understand that. Thank God, you know, people out here are good people, born again and that stuff. I'm not knocking them, but I'm just telling you. there's more to be had. We cannot back off into something just because others, you know, today we have the church world. Well, you know, we get out here, you know, just like we're going to go play church. You know, we're going to get people in. We want to tell them about Jesus. So we'll give them some rock and roll. We'll give them some stuff, you know. We're going to do all this stuff to get people in the door to come in here. You ain't going to have no spirit filled in that place. The only spirit that's going to dominate there is the devil. And you have people, I ain't saying they ain't going to end up in heaven. They'll go to heaven, but they'll go to heaven living like hell. That's how they get there. And I want better than that. While we're here, we want to fulfill God's plan. I believe, personally, it is totally 100% impossible to fulfill the perfect will of God in your life without being filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't care how much you think of certain ministers, well, this guy's done all these great stuff. Well, there's lots of people have done a lot of great things, but Jesus said there's people going to come and say, I did all this in your name, and he's going to say, go away, I never knew you. Jesus said that. I'm sticking with Jesus. I don't care what the preachers say. Preachers can say anything they want. There's people who've done all kind of wonderful things in his name, and he says, go away, I never knew you. You know, that don't get preached definitely in the church that are, you know, with the strobe lights and stuff. They ain't talking that one there. You know, they ain't playing Led Zeppelin and preaching this. You know, they definitely got something else going on in that place. So anyhow. But now in John, the 14th chapter, this is Jesus speaking. Now, this is Jesus himself. You know, to me, he's the final authority on things, no matter what anybody else says. Jesus is the final authority. He's talking to his disciples. Now, I want you to understand this. He's telling them about the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they're going to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and they're going to need the Holy Spirit to fulfill God's plans and purposes for their lives and carry out what God wants. They need to understand about the Holy Spirit, what he does. Now, he says here in John, the 14th chapter, verse 16, Jesus said, I'm going to do this. I will pray the Father. He will give you another helper. Now, that word another there, if you look that up in the Greek, that word another means one of the same kind. In other words, Jesus said, when I go, I'm going to ask the Father to send one to you that's just like me. It's just like me. The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. We'll talk a little bit about that. He said, another helper. Why? Jesus was their helper while he was in the earth. He was down here helping. He said, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send you another helper. Why? That he may abide with you forever. He says, the Spirit of truth. Now, what is the Spirit of truth? You can know this about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always deal with you with truth. What's true? One thing is I've learned about the Holy Spirit. Now, we've made the Holy Spirit into, when we use the term comforter, we've made him a comforter, and the church has turned him into a comforter where you can live like hell and he'll still comfort you. No, he don't. He's the Spirit of truth. He's going to tell you the truth. The Holy Spirit has told me the truth already about some things, and I wasn't too tickled to hear it. He told me the truth about me. It wasn't always the most wonderful thing I wanted to hear. But he's the Spirit of truth. He doesn't do it to hurt me. He wants to help me. But he's going to talk the truth to you. Now, one thing is the Bible tells us to speak the truth in love. The Holy Spirit speaks the truth in love, but he'll tell you the truth. He's not going to tell you you're all right when you're not. I know a guy, and he ended up dying prematurely in his 50s. But he never would walk right, and I tried to deal with him over the years, and the Lord told me just let it alone. Don't deal with the guy anymore about it. And he ended up dying prematurely, but he'd always be this, you know, oh, you know, God talks to him and always was saying something wonderful to him about how, oh, how he loved him and how wonderful and all that. And I think, this guy's living all messed up. That ain't the Holy Ghost talking to him. The Holy Ghost will tell you the truth. And I know this ain't the Holy Spirit talking to him. Because the Holy Spirit will tell you the truth. The Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Spirit in the church world today is not going to be the most popular guy. He's not going to be really popular among many Christians. The Holy Spirit isn't, because he'll tell you the truth. And I know that, because a lot of Christians don't want to hear the truth. Oh, they'll tell you that. Yeah, I want to know the truth. I hate liars, but you tell them the truth and they'll want to shoot you in the leg, you know. I'm not talking about being mean, but there's one thing as I've learned. I've learned this. See, it's number one, Jesus said the truth will make you free. And if you want to live, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal truth to you to bring freedom to you. And the only thing we need is that freedom to walk and to follow the things of God. That's what we want to do. We want to walk in the blessing of God and the Holy Spirit. He's a Spirit of truth. Notice what he said, whom the world cannot receive. Now the world can receive Christ, can't they? But he said they can't receive the Holy Spirit. See, you've got to become a child of God before you can receive the Holy Spirit. If you got the Holy Spirit when you accepted Jesus just because you did, well then what's Jesus talking about here? Then the world could receive the Holy Spirit. Well, the world can't. The world has to accept Christ to get the Holy Spirit. Jesus just said so. I'm sticking with Jesus on the subject. I'm going to stick with him. He knows more about it than Ed does. And he gave me the Holy Spirit and bears witness that it's true. So I'm sticking with it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, because it neither sees him, the world doesn't see him or know him. Well, sure they didn't. When I was a sinner, how could I know the Holy Ghost? Dear God, I didn't even know Ed, the idiot. You know, I just, hallelujah, how to get saved. And I got saved. Wow, I didn't see him or know him. But listen, he says, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he'll be in you. You guys are going to know it. In other words, these are guys following the covenant of God that they had at the time. They're acquainted with things about the Holy Spirit because they're following along with Jesus on some things here. But they're going to get born again. They're going to get, he said, now you're going to, when this happens, you're going to know about it. You're going to know who you got. You're going to know this. And see, this is one thing. The Holy Spirit, when you talk to Christians, lots of times Christians, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, it's sort of a vague thing. Jesus talked as if you can know him. You can just know him. And see, one of the things I think that people have problem in this area is because we need to learn to use our faith. Faith is about confessing and believing and saying the right things. That's where it starts. Is get over and start saying the right things. I know the Holy Spirit. You know, he lives in me. I can hear him. When he talks to me, I hear. You know, most people sit around and say, I'm trying to hear the Holy Ghost. The Bible never told you to try to hear anything. It says, you know, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. The voice of Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost living in you. Jesus said, my sheep know his voice. I ain't going to ever say nothing different than I know his voice. I ain't going to say anything else that's stupid. I ain't going to make Jesus a liar. Jesus said, I know his voice. I'm not going to say, well, Jesus, you were wrong on that subject. I ain't got a clue. That's what people are doing. They don't see themselves as doing that, but that's exactly what they do. They speak against Jesus himself, saying, I love him, but I don't believe a thing he says. Jesus said, my sheep know his voice. So that's what I say. I say, my sheep, I know the voice. I know the voice of the Holy Ghost. The voice of the Holy Spirit is the voice of Jesus Christ in me. The Holy Spirit. Because Jesus, in his speaking here, so the world can't receive this one. The world can't receive the Holy Spirit. We have to get saved, and then we receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. To me, that's good news. Some people, they don't like that idea. I don't care what people like. I'm going to stay with the Bible. Because the Bible is going to move us in line with what's true. Hallelujah. And see, I don't know about you. I want to walk in truth. I'm going to follow Jesus. My words. You know, a lot of people try to do a lot for me in my life, but ain't nobody ever did for me what Jesus done. I mean, ain't nobody ever came close to it. And hallelujah. I'm going to stick with Jesus. Now, in the 14th chapter of John, again, in verse 26, Jesus. Now, remember, this night before he's crucified, he's saying these things to his disciples. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, in verse 26, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now think about this. Now he said, this is what Jesus told these guys. Now look, when you this Holy Spirit thing, it's all about this Holy Spirit that's going to, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God's going to come. You're going to receive the Spirit of truth. When he gets here, he's going to be a teacher. He's going to teach you all things. Can you imagine what a statement that is? He's going to teach you all things. All I ever heard growing up in the church, well, God don't always show us, and God don't this, and God don't that. See, they never believed in what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in you to teach you all things. What, and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, I want you to think about this. These disciples are not born again at the time. The Holy Ghost isn't living in them at this time. They're acquainted with the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ and his ministry as they went along with him. But understand this, they're going to step in this place. Jesus has been teaching them things that they have not really understood. Jesus went along and talked to them about stuff and they didn't get it at all. Sometimes he'd get frustrated with them. But he said, what the Holy Spirit's going to do, he's going to take what I've said to you and he's going to show it to you. Now, there's one thing as we know. Jesus made this statement. Jesus said to these same disciples, he said to them, you know, the works that I do, you're going to do also, and greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. The Holy Ghost must have witnessed to them, because they went out and did the same stuff Jesus did. After they got filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit bare witness to them what they had already heard Jesus tell them. He who believes in me. He didn't say, hey, you disciples. He said, no, he who believes in me, as the Scripture says. Did you ever think about this? Jesus never said to go in the world and get people saved. You know what he said to do? Go in the world and make disciples. I'm going to tell you what. I tell people, if you don't want to follow God, don't bother. If you don't want to become a disciple. See, this is one of the greatest problems we have in the church world today. Is because they come around how to get people saved. You know, the majority of people in America who come to Christ never become a disciple. They never follow Jesus, never go to church, never do anything. I've heard another minister, I asked a guy one time, he's telling me they were doing outreach in a community. So I asked him a question. He said they had about 100 people accept Christ. I said, how many of them came to church? They didn't get one. I said, what good does that do? I said, you ain't got one follower. Not one of them's going to follow Jesus. Not one of them's going to be a disciple. So Jesus said, go make disciples. Jesus didn't tell you just get people to accept Jesus and let them go run off somewhere. I'll tell people, if you don't want to follow him, don't waste your time. Because it ain't going to work for you. It's not going to work for you if you don't follow him. I know this. The reason God works in my life is because I do my best to follow him. And then he works in my life. But you can't go out here and not follow his teachings and not follow him and expect this thing to work out. See, we need to come back. Billy Graham said this himself. The majority of the people, he said, accept Jesus in my meetings, never follow Jesus. What good does it do? They don't follow him. We aren't making disciples. See, why? Us, we just want to notch our gun belts and say somebody went and made a confession. I'm not interested in confession. I'm interested in a life. When I accepted Jesus, I got a new life. Hallelujah. I got a new one. But I got a new one because I made a decision to follow Jesus. We don't do that anymore. We don't ask people to follow Jesus. Just make a confession. And then just go live like hell, you know. Go do what you want. Jesus said we're supposed to count the cost. He said, don't go out here and start building a tower if you ain't got the money to finish. You'll look like an idiot. Don't accept Jesus Christ if you don't plan on following him, because you will look like an idiot. I'll guarantee you, you'll be the big idiot. The devil will eat your lunch, for sure. And people will tell you you're an idiot. Oh, see, that stuff don't work. All you become is a lousy testimony to everybody. That's all it is. A lousy testimony. Say it was Jesus, and actually Jesus was never involved in none of it. It was all men. Good preaching anyhow, Ed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Glory to God. In 14:26... I want you to read this. This is Jesus again. Like I say, Jesus is the... You know, people say, I want God to talk to me. Right here. This is Jesus. He was God the last time I checked. He is speaking to us. Hallelujah. But the helper... Here again, he's talking about this helper. This one that's going to come just like him. Hallelujah. That's what I love about the Holy Ghost. He's like Jesus. The Spirit whom the Father will send in my name. He'll teach you all things. He'll bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. See, this is one of the things that... You don't have to be some kind of mental wizard. If you learn to know how to load the Holy Ghost, he'll bring things to you and bring things to your remembrance. All the time I do this. You know, Holy Spirit, you know such and such. Bring that back to me. And it'll come to me. It'll come to me. That's his job. That's what he's there for. You don't do that kind of stuff. You're treating him like that in his job. He will not do for you what you don't respond to him about doing. He won't do for you. You got to act in faith in the Word. You got to act in faith in the Word. I do all the time. You know, that's why we got all these people out here and tell, well, as you get older, your mind goes. Yeah, it's because most people get old. They don't believe a darn thing. They're walking around waiting for the government to take care of them and everything else. They're walking around looking for somebody to always take care of them instead of sitting around and saying, hey, you know, they don't have anything wrong with your memory. Glory to God. You have if you're born again, you got the Holy Ghost in you to bring to your remembrance. Glory to God. Start using. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Well, how do you have it? You got the Holy Spirit. He's the mind of Christ. And then we live like we ain't got one. We live like we're out of our mind. That's weird. Hallelujah. John 15:26. Jesus again. Here's Jesus. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. He goes again. He's the Spirit of truth. Who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Now, a lot of people think like testimony is just words said, you know, and a thing. But you need to understand, the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. One of the things to testifying of Jesus is the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. He testifies that Jesus Christ, the whole point of it is, the original disciples went out, and their job for the original disciples was to tell people because that they saw Jesus, touched him, walked with him, knew his ministry. That was their ministry out here to people. They actually walked with him. They were actually, in other words, they were telling firsthand experience that they had with Jesus Christ. And then they would operate in gifts of the Spirit to show that Jesus was alive. The church has no proof of Jesus being alive without manifestations of it. I'm going to tell you, the words on the page don't mean nothing anymore. I'm going to tell you, people hear all kinds of words. I don't know about you. When I came to Christ, I expected to experience Christ. Now, one of the things it is, I had right people talking to me about some things. The reason that many people are like they are, because, you know, you go out here and you have all this stuff going on. Well, just ask Jesus into your heart. And people go through that kind of stuff. But what they do is they never come to a place to experience Christ. You need to experience Christ. Christ never becomes real in people. You want Christ real in you. And it is the whole point of the Holy Spirit in you is to make Christ real in you. Christ is to be real in the individual. The Holy Spirit, his job is to testify or bear witness of Christ. He magnifies Christ. Now, there's one thing, the Holy Spirit will always move in line with the Word. And the reason he does is because Jesus is the Word. You know, in John the first chapter, in the first three verses says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. That's Jesus Christ, the Word, the Holy Spirit. In other words, if you want to start to become acquainted with the Holy Spirit, you've got to become a student of the Word. You've got to be a person that looks in the Word, because what? The Holy Spirit will take things in the Word. The Holy Spirit always speaks to me in line with the Word. He always talks to me in line with what's truth. That's what he talks. He's the Spirit of truth. Holy Spirit will reveal things to me and always show me from a scriptural perspective. Everybody talks to me. Sometimes he will not say a specific scripture, but when he does, all of a sudden, two or three scriptures come to my remembrance. Oh, that's right. That says this and this says that. He speaks. How would you know? How could you possibly judge whether God was talking to you if you don't know what the Word says? And if you don't know what the Word says, the devil can deceive you. He tried to deceive Jesus through the Word, didn't he? But if you don't know the Word and you don't know the Spirit of the Word, you can be deceived thinking you're hearing from heaven when you ain't heard from heaven. You need to know the Word. Because the Holy Spirit always operates in the areas of truth. Always in the areas of truth. The more really that you're familiar with the Word, there's a lot more that the Holy Spirit can reveal things to you. Because he can bring to your remembrance things. He can bring stuff to your remembrance and reveal things to you. And surely that's what we want to know. Listen now, in John 16, here again, now, this is the night that Jesus is betrayed, and he's going through all this stuff, and here he's talking about the Holy Ghost. Isn't it amazing? Jesus thought that getting the Holy Ghost was the biggie. The church didn't. Why? Because they don't believe on Jesus like the Word says. The church has their own ideas about Jesus. Now, in John 16, chapter, verse 13, this is what Jesus says. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, again, he's talking the Spirit of truth, has come. He's the Spirit of truth. That's what he is. Always going to talk the truth. He's always going to talk the truth. Hallelujah. He will guide you into all truth. Here again. What's he going to do? He's going to guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. Now the word authority is actually added in the scripture. That was it. He's not going to speak on his own. You need to understand this about the Holy Spirit. And you folks probably remember, I talked about back in April of 1989, I had an experience. I was in Bible school at the time. In fact, we're coming up to graduation. graduation Bible school, and one day the Lord spoke to me. I was going to attend prayer school that afternoon. We had our regular classes. Nobody had to attend prayer school. You could do that if you weren't working or something like that. You could go attend that. So I was going to go to prayer school, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me in class and said, I don't want you to go to prayer school today. He said, I want you to go out to the reservoir. There was a reservoir that was near our home. It was like, I think it was 3.2 miles or something around it. And I used to go out there and run around that thing a couple times and stuff. And I used to walk out there and walk and pray, too. I'd do that at times, go out there and just walk and pray. Because usually there'd be maybe some people fish around there, but usually you're pretty well on your own. And the Lord said, I want you to go out there. I want to talk to you. I thought, well, yeah, you could talk to me. I'm praying in here at the prayer school. But I just knew inside. So, you know, I went out there and started walking around. So I started walking around out there, and I just started praying, and I went over and praying in other tongues, just walking around, just praying, because I didn't know what. I said, you know, you sent me out here, said, I'm going to come out here, and you want to talk to me. So I said, well, here I am. I came to the place, you know, out of the place where you said to go. Well, I started walking around there and that stuff, and I don't know where. I got maybe about a quarter of the way around thing, and I don't remember anything from that. I got about a quarter way around there. The next thing I know is I had gone the whole way around and part of the way again, and I found myself, I was praying in tongues at the top of my lungs. I mean, I was just yelling, praying in tongues. And all of a sudden, I just really, honestly, I stopped. I thought, my God, if anybody's around, they'd think I was an insane. I mean, I just praying in tongues like a wild man, just going around there praying in tongues. But I mean, I guess that was one of the things Brother Hagin used to say, some people get lost in the Spirit. I guess I was lost in something. I don't know. But when it happened, I just stopped. And when I stopped, the Holy Spirit started talking to me. And I want you to know, it was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit. I knew who it was talking. It was the Holy Spirit himself. And for maybe 20, maybe it was 25 minutes or so, he talked to me about stuff. I asked him questions about things. He would answer a question I'd ask him. And we went on. He talked about some things around, you know, that had to do with me and some things. I mean, this was, not, folks, is really quite unusual. I mean, this don't happen. This just don't. This is quite a unique experience, and I never believed for any of this. I never asked God to do anything like this for me, and I just, well, but anyhow, what he wanted to do, I realized after this whole thing was over and what took place, so the Holy Spirit was just clearly talking to me about some things. As one thing is, and I started to notice about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does, he magnifies Jesus. Jesus is the forefront of everything with him. And I understand why they use the word authority. He doesn't speak under his own authority. They added that into there, but in a sense, it is good because what it is, the Holy Spirit has one job, and his job is to magnify the ministry of Jesus. That's what it is. He'll always magnify Jesus. He'll never magnify men. See, lots of times I've been around in meetings and that stuff, and I've watched ministers and stuff do things, and I see they're operating under wrong spirits because it's magnifying them. They yield to wrong things. It's to magnify the individual. It's never. Any experience I've ever had, it's always Jesus Christ is the forefront of it. And in this experience, it did. After this coming around, I got back around to where my car was, and the Holy Spirit was talking to me, and he just said to me, he said, okay, you can go now. And I thought, this is really weird. I mean, to me, this was like, wow, my God. You know, when this is going on and the anointing's there, it seems so natural, but all of a sudden, when he says, okay, you go, you go, and I was just like, this is really weird. So anyhow, I went down and I got in the car and I went to drive off in the car. And when I went to drive off in the car, a presence started entering the car and I knew who it was. I knew it was Jesus. And I'll tell you what, it about flipped me out. Because that presence that was entering the car was so holy. My flesh could not stand it. My flesh could not stand it. I mean, I'm driving in the car and I'm thinking about jumping out of the car, literally. I mean, I'm serious. I felt like I was going to die. He was so holy, and me sitting there in the flesh, it was like, and everybody thinks, well, if we have these kind of experiences, you just get so spiritual. Well, good luck. You ain't spiritual. Anyhow, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke up. See, there is Jesus, and there is the Holy Spirit. Most people don't know any difference between. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you stop it. He wants to talk to you. You see, it's one thing. The only thing the Holy Spirit was interested in is magnifying Jesus. That's the only thing he's interested in. See, we have much of Christianity today. You'll hardly ever hear Jesus even mentioned much anymore in Christianity. It's all God. God this. Our songs are about God. Well, Jesus is the head of the church. You know, God the Father's not. Jesus is. Jesus is whom we answer to. And the Holy Spirit, He has sold out 100% to Jesus. Jesus made the statement and said, I'd forgive you anything you do, but He said, the Holy Spirit won't. Jesus said that. Why? You don't treat Jesus bad, and the Holy Spirit treats you good. The Holy Spirit is dedicated 100% to Jesus Christ. Listen to hear the things that are said. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He speaks. And He will tell you things to come. Whatever He hears is what He speaks. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, don't have any other voice than what Jesus would say to you. Whatever Jesus is saying, that's what He's going to say to you. Well, we know Jesus is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, that's when people, no one will ever convince me they don't know the Holy Spirit and they say they know Jesus. I know that's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. They don't know Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of Jesus to us. We don't know Jesus outside from what the Holy Spirit reveals Him. We don't know Him. We only know Him by what the Holy Spirit reveals. This is why we want to yield to the Spirit, because the more I can yield to the Spirit, the more I can know Jesus. Hallelujah. And the whole thing of the Holy Spirit, His whole job, is to get you to know Jesus. That's what He's wanting to do. That's what He's working at. He wants you to know Jesus. He does want you to have one of those personal relationships that a lot of people say I ain't got a clue about. But that's what He wants you to have. He wants you to know Jesus. He wants you to know Him by experience, not just by words in a book. Thank God the words in the book can help us have an experience with Jesus Christ. You believe the words in the book. But I encourage you, there's one thing is over the years, I've read these scriptures so many times and meditated on these scriptures till I believe that the one living in me, this is what He does. I totally expect the Holy Spirit to do 100%. I never expect to read the Bible and not get revelation. I don't expect that at all. How could I have this one who takes reveals the truth to me and He's not going to show it to me? Well, see, most people never respond in faith. They're mental Christians, always operating out of their mind, operating, trying to think, being mental. I don't have to be mental, thank God. Most people think I am. But anyhow, hallelujah, I can sit down. Why? You know, just think about it. The smartest being of the universe lives inside of us. God, the Holy Spirit, who knows everything. Well, you just don't know how. I'm just not too smart. I'm just not this. I'm sorry. I am not a genius, but the genius lives in me. Hallelujah. And He makes me look good. Hallelujah. I don't have to know everything. I got the Holy Ghost. He does. And what I need to know, He'll reveal it to me. And let's get on. Because we want to be led in this last days. We cannot, the church can't do what it has been doing for the last 20 years. It can't continue to do it and see this move of God. We'll never flow into it. Why? Because you can't do it without the Holy Spirit. He's the one who guides us and leads us in the truth. Whatever He hears, He speaks. And He will tell you things to come. Hallelujah. That's His job, to tell you things to come. To show you what's ahead. That's His job. Oh, we always thought that and marveled at the prophets. Man, the prophets don't have nothing on the church. The Holy Spirit is to reveal things to us. You and I can prepare for the future. We can know the future of things. Hallelujah. We're not hidden. You can't prepare for a future you don't know about. Glory to God, we have a future, and God is showing us. Walking in faith is about the future. Hallelujah. Believe in God for today, what you need tomorrow. Hallelujah. Believing for God, it's about walking. And the Holy Spirit will help you plan your future. That's what He does. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what we got in us. Now here's what Jesus says. He will glorify me. He will not glorify Ed. He will glorify me, Jesus said. He's not going to glorify guys. He's not going to try to make the minister the big guy or you the big bun, make people want to see you. Hallelujah. People want to see Jesus. That's what always when I would read Jesus, about Jesus and His ministry in the earth, Jesus would go do all these miracles and stuff, and the people would say, speak about him and say that they would glorify the God of Israel. That's the thing that always grabbed me, was the fact he did all those things in front of them, and what they saw the Father. They didn't turn around and see him as the biggie. They glorified God. And I thought, boy, if anything I want to do is I want to be something that glorifies Jesus Christ in the earth. Not when he sees something done, he'd only, ain't that Ed something? They'd say, ain't that Jesus something? I tell you, a lot of things today we call ministry ain't ministry. It's men doing men's things, and it glorifies men. Aren't they a big deal? Hallelujah. He will glorify me. For what? He will take what is mine and declare it to you. You see the ministry of the Holy Spirit? It's all about Jesus, isn't it? It's all about Jesus. All things that the Father has are mine. Do you know, Jesus said everything that the Father has is mine. Everything. And he said, what will the Holy Ghost do? He'll show it to you. He said he'll show it to you. Spiritual ignorance is no excuse. Spiritual ignorance takes place because people are lazy. They don't take time to learn. They don't take time to learn. We got to learn. So you take these scriptures here, and you, that's like me. I said, you know, I could take one of these scriptures, and people say, read through the Bible. I'd hit one of these scriptures and spend a week there just trying to, woo, I got to get this to where I can finally believe this wild and crazy stuff. Like, man, this is true. This is what's inside of me. This, just think about this. This is what's inside of you today. You're sitting here today. This is what's in you. You'll never feel weak again if you get this revelation in you. You'll never feel like you're alone again. I've heard people say, I feel like I'm alone. I ain't ever alone. Glory to God. God lives in me. Poor guys that don't have God in, I feel sorry for them. Hallelujah. I got God. I can't get lonely with God. Everything that God has, everything the Father has, he gave it to Jesus. And the whole job of the Holy Spirit is to show it to Ed. Now, I can't... This is written to Christians. This is written to us. I mean, these things are phenomenal. They're like a fairy tale. I mean, I read them and I go, oh my God. You don't know how many times this week I read these scriptures, and like reading them today, to me it's like the first time. Like eating, just a good bowl of ice cream. It's like, wow, isn't that something? This is the greatest thing. Oh, it's like, wow, it's so wonderful. And that's what's living in us. That's why you've heard me say so much over the years. We're not praying to a God out there. God lives in us. The church keeps trying to touch something out there that they can touch. I mean, you can really touch it on the inside of you. It's real. It's there. But it's becoming more inside-minded than outside-minded. When I came into Christianity, the Christians were moving toward the inside-minded. And in the 90s, they started toward the outside-minded. And today, most of the church is all outside-minded. They lost it. I'm going to tell you, folks, this is the most wonderful thing it is, to knowing what's in you. What you are, what you became through the new birth, and what God put in you. There's nothing no more phenomenal in this earth than the Christian. The Christian walks around in this earth, most of them, like God don't exist. And God's living in them. God's living. They're praying. They're calling somebody else to pray for them all the time, to get them something. And the whole time, God's inside of them wanting to bless them. God's inside of them wanting to do something for them. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Oh, my God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you. Oh, that ought to make you happy. Oh, hallelujah. Do you realize what we are sitting here today? Do you realize what we are? Politicians can do all the things they want. I'm going to tell you, there's nobody in the face of this earth has a higher calling than Jesus Christ. No president has a higher calling than I do. I sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if a president ain't saved, poor guy, he's on his way to hell. I walk this earth as a temple of God. You walk this earth as God's temple, the temple that God lives in. Wherever you go, God goes. Just think about this. God goes wherever God's in you. The entire wisdom of God, the entire mind of Jesus Christ himself, Jesus Christ God, who has had everything the Father got given to him, it's inside of you that you can come in contact with it anytime you want to. Anytime you'd like to come in contact with it, you can come in contact with it. See, I've learned a long time ago, I talk to the Holy Spirit. He lives in me. I ask him questions. He's a teacher. He'll teach you. I ask questions. I'll ask him about things. I want to know different stuff. I'll ask him. He's inside of me and he ain't deaf. Hallelujah. I say to him all the time, Jesus put you in me to guide me and lead me into all the truth. Now I want to know something. And I always say this to him. I just want to thank you ahead of time because I know you'll do exactly what Jesus said. You'll show it to me. See, act like faith, like it's going to happen. You got to start using faith. See, I believe he's everything. Everything the scriptures have said about him is exactly true. Jesus could not have lied about it. Because if Jesus lied about any of this, then therefore we have no place to stand that he's Lord at all or anything. He can't be a liar. Because the Holy Spirit ain't going to join up with a liar. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Spirit's joined up with him. The Holy Spirit is magnifying the ministry of Jesus Christ, bringing it to the forefront. Hallelujah. Revealing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, I could go on to some other things, but I just think, hallelujah, I've done preach me happy this morning, dear Lord. The more I go over and look in that thing and looking on the inside, what we are. Let's stand to our feet. What we are. Think about it. What you are here today. Glory to God. There was a temple that was built in Jerusalem that Solomon built. It was the most glorious building that ever stood, at least up to that time period. I don't know if any today are as fantastic as that one was. All that it did, but you know what? That isn't where God wanted to live. That isn't where God wanted to live. God wanted to live in people. That's the temple he's always sought. That temple was a type and shadow to lead people into a direction that God was taking his people. And one day God was going to send his Messiah, Jesus Christ. So you and I, through his death, burial, and resurrection, we could become temples of God and God could actually move in. The new birth would have been nothing to Jesus Christ without the moving in of the Holy Spirit. The moving in of the Holy Spirit, that was the climax of all that God wanted. That temple in Jerusalem was at nothing. It was nothing more than a nice building till the Spirit of God came into it, to that temple. When the fire of God fell in that place and burned up the sacrifices and they couldn't stand to minister because the power of God came into that place. And here you are, the temples of God. That's what God wanted. See, God's always wanted to be with men. That's what he's always wanted. The book of Revelation ends with a new heaven and a new earth. And it says God's going to come and live with men. It isn't about men going to be with God. It's about God coming to be with men. God's been wanting to always hang out with you. Let him hang out with you. Let him hang out with you. Hallelujah. Let him hang out with you. That's what he wants. He wants to hang out with men. That's all he's ever wanted. To hang out with men. Glory to God. You understand all that? I ain't got a clue, and I don't know why you want to hang out with me. But hallelujah, he said he does. I'm going to take him to his word. He said he does. And I'm not going to try to say, well, some people say, well, who do you think you are? I really don't think I'm anybody. But the book's already declared that God moved in. Hallelujah. You're here today, and God moved into you. Glory to God. You say, well, I don't feel like he does. Well, neither do I. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, I believe it's true. So that's the whole thing that makes a difference. If you believe on Jesus as the scripture says, hallelujah, it'll change your life. There won't be any more weak church. There won't be any more frailty. Hallelujah. The Christians will be the answer to the world. Hallelujah. The Christian will be. Hallelujah. You have God in you. Father, I just want to say thank you today. How wonderful and how good and how kind and merciful. What you've done for us in Jesus Christ is the most phenomenal thing Father, what words of explanation could we possibly use to thank you, to try, Lord God, to explain any of this stuff? Lord God, it's outside the human ability to comprehend and understand that such a great God who created everything, created humanity, did all this. And your whole desire is to come and move in with us and to walk with us. And your proof is in it, just the matter that you sent your Son. Came down here and walked with men. Came down here and walked with men. Put on an ugly earth suit just like ours. Oh, Father, you're absolutely phenomenal. You're absolutely incredible. Holy Spirit, we want to welcome you in us. We're so glad. We're so glad to have you inside of us. Holy Spirit, excuse me. You're everything that the Word says. You're going to take everything that belongs to Jesus. You're going to reveal it to us. You're always going to speak the truth to us. You're going to show us things to come so we can be prepared and ready for whatever it is that you have for us to do. We thank you, Holy Spirit. By following you, we're going to be able to fulfill perfectly the ministry that Jesus Christ has called us to. We're going to be able to follow Jesus, hallelujah, just as the Scripture says. And Father, I want to thank you also, Lord God, because of the Holy Spirit, we're not lacking in power in any measure. Hallelujah. Oh, there couldn't be with the great Holy Spirit in us. And Father, I just pray today that in the name of Jesus, Father, our desire is to have the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the church. But not just the manifestations of the Holy Spirit with the gifts, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit brings, but we want the manifestation of the gifts that Jesus Christ set in the church when He left. Lord God, we want the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, and pastor and teacher to come back in their place again in the church under the anointing of God. We want those ministries to come back to the forefront of where they belong in the church. Father, it is shameful, Lord God, ministers calling themselves life coaches. There is no such gift, Lord God, as life coaches. They're ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors. And Father, we want them brought back. And Lord God, get the life coaches out of the church. Get these ones out of the church that don't belong in them. Hallelujah. That don't stand in the offices that you've called. Hallelujah. Father, bring them back again where there can be leaders in the church again. Hallelujah. Where there are people that lead and to take people, Lord God, in a walk with their God. Hallelujah. Where people can grab a hold of the things of God. And Lord God, your church can rise up again in glory. Hallelujah. That you've called it to in this day and in this time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we're not going to try to walk in the wisdom of men. Lord God, everybody, every one of us has tried to do that at times. We walked in the wisdom of men. We know where it's taken us. Father God, I want to thank you. There's a wisdom within us. Ha ha. A wisdom that is beyond measure. The wisdom of God. And Father, I want to thank you that that wisdom is rising up. And that wisdom is working in us today, Father, in a greater measure than it ever has. I thank you, for Lord God, for the Spirit of seeing and knowing, operating within us here in this place. The Spirit of seeing and knowing, Lord God. Lord, that the prophet Kenneth Hagin talked about many times in his last years here on this earth. The Spirit of seeing and knowing coming to the forefront. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're not an ignorant church. Lord God, waiting to see what's going to happen in this earth. We're a people, hallelujah, that know what's happening in this earth. Lord God, I want to thank you. We're a people who know the move of the Spirit and know the flow of the Spirit. And we're going to walk in it, hallelujah, so that Jesus Christ may be glorified and magnified. We're going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, so Jesus can come to the forefront again. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Praise His name. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brakatishta membareska vendodishka payo mimbarata vengolene nenakisa sasakea oprande froke nino no koshita branda freso lambrage lakatishi. Yes? Yes, it's the time to step in. It's the time to step in, yes. Yes, many things have held back in the past, but I say to you in these last days, those things will no longer hinder. That there's a people that I've set forth in this earth, and they will walk forth in this last hour and day, and my hand will be upon them, and the Holy Spirit will reveal Himself, and Jesus Christ's ministry will go forth with power, yes, and many mouths will be shut. Many have said many things, but their mouths will be shut in these last days. Yes, and the mouths of my servants shall be open, and I will reveal my glory through them. Hallelujah. 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 This spirit of Antichrist that's been operating in America doesn't like things that are going on. We're seeing a lot of shuffling around and concerning election and looking at these election things. But you need to understand this spirit. Our president's going to try to do some things to really hurt this nation in this year going on. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. He's going to do some things. You keep walking in truth. You stay with the truth and you walk in the light of the truth. He's going to try to do things on his way out of office. Yes, but there's going to be a shaking going on in this nation. There's going to be a shaking in our government. A huge shaking in our government is coming. Yes, it's going to be a huge shaking. And many Christians are not going to think, are not going to think it's God. And it's God. Many Christians are not going to think it's God. And it's God. He's going to shake things up. He's going to rattle things around. He's not going to let men get away with what they've been getting away with. There's people in the church that are not going to get away with the things that they've been getting away with. There's ministers that ain't going to get away with what they've been getting away with. Things are coming to an end. They're coming to a climax. These are the days of reaping what you sow. They're at hand. Hallelujah. Those who have sown to the flesh are going to reap corruption. Hallelujah. Those who have sown to the Spirit are going to reap life and peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, many times, trouble comes knocking. Things can look really bad. But really, many times, it can be right on those things take place, but right on its heels is really setting what God plans on doing and changing things. And that's why we have to be very careful. Very careful of how we view stuff. Because many Christians out here, and I mean, well, things are just going to get worse and worse. They plan on worse and worse. But I just do this to them. If they come and ask me to pray for them, I said, you said it's going to get worse and worse. They know we used to be praying for you. It's going to get worse for you. That's what you're believing. I know you're praying. If it's just going to get worse and worse, what would we be praying for if it's just going to get worse and worse? What are we praying for? Say, God, just don't kill me with it and let me go along and limp or whatever. I don't know. I just... Hallelujah. You know. And now you feel, well, things are going to get worse. Yeah, pray for me. Why we pray for you? You're believing for the worst. I just hope you don't get all you're believing for. Hallelujah. We're stepping into days of glory. We're stepping into days of glory. Hallelujah. We're stepping into days of glory. Don't be surprised. There's darkness going on. Ain't you seen it? Hallelujah. But I tell you what, there's glory. Whatever you want to focus on, you're going to get the opportunity. Whichever one you want to focus on, it'll be there. Hallelujah. I'm going to focus on the glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, is there anything else that you'd like to do before we leave here today? We want to do whatever you'd like, not just what we'd like to do. Hallelujah. I read the scriptures you wanted me to read today. Hallelujah. And I just thank you, Father. Yeah. Hallelujah. If there's anything else, we sure want to walk in the light of it. We want to walk in the light of whatever, hallelujah, you're doing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 It just keeps coming up. Let me ask you a question. Ones who came up here before, and we had some, not last week, the week before, who came up. Some to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and there were some who had been filled with the Holy Spirit. We laid hands on them again because some people get away from it, doing it. How many of you have been spending some time praying in the Holy Spirit? You've been spending time doing it. I just want to encourage you is to take the time to do it. It doesn't seem like it's anything. You know, I lay last night about 2 hours in bed praying in other tongues. Now somebody say, well, what'd you feel? I didn't feel a thing. But the Bible says when I'm praying in tongues, I'm edifying myself. That's what it says. I didn't feel like the Holy Ghost was in him, but I know he's there. I don't feel it. It isn't about, hey, you know, sometimes I can feel the power of God working in me. Sometimes I can. That's nice. I don't know. It's good. It is neat when you get the feeling, isn't it? But I just don't understand this. Majority of the time, you don't get the feeling. But you know, it's like this. I know I lay in there praying in tongues. I know the anointing's going to come on me when I get in the pulpit. When I start to minister, the anointing's going to come. I know the anointing's going to be there to minister. It's like, to me, it's like, you know, I do all of this stuff. That preparation time is never wasted time. As you're over there doing that, the whole time just praying, just edifying myself, building myself up on the inside. Why? Because if when God wants to release the charge, there's one there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, we don't know. Sometimes you don't know when you're gonna need a charge. You're going to need to release a charge. And if you ain't had one, you ain't doing it, you ain't got one to release. You don't have one to go. And we edify, we build ourselves up, hallelujah, in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. We do. Glory to God. That's the most wonderful thing. God set something for us that we can turn around and build ourselves up on the inside. I just take time doing it. The devil will tell you, oh, you're just making noises. Yes, glory to God. I'm making noises. I don't know what it is, but God knows what it is. And glory to God. The Bible says it's building me up, and it's a working good. Yes. Hallelujah. It's doing exactly what he said. It's building me up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So just keep doing that stuff. Hallelujah. Keep taking the time to pray. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord bless you, and have yourself an absolutely glorious week. Glory to God. I encourage you to meditate on those scriptures we used today. Inside of you. Hallelujah.